Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Jesus knows his sheep. He already knows those that are his. With Jesus, it's not a might be, it's an absolute. He already knows who his sheep are. Because we live and function in time, you can say he already knows those who are yet to be born that will be his sheep. Let's join Dr. Kinlow as he teaches us more about the Good Shepherd. Let's listen and learn.
What I'm trying to say is, and let me give you one more. If you really know the Lord intimately as he knows the Father and the Father knows him, you would never say Jesus shared the ignorances of his day. And he did not know that homosexuality and lesbianism cannot be sin, because we now know they were born that way. And if they were born that way, that is the way God made them. When people say this foolishness, what they are literally saying is Jesus, God in flesh, did not know that he was making a mistake when he decreed this to be sin, because if he was smart enough, he should have known he created them this way. Y'all hear what I just said, didn't you? Now you saying, gee, he didn't understand that, child. Well, wait a minute, he made man. Amen. So you mean to tell you he didn't know what he made? Amen. He made a mistake back then. You know, back then it's abomination, and man shall not lie with man as he does, you know, all this kind of stuff. So he now all of a sudden you didn't got new information he didn't know. See, if you know the Lord intimately, you have. And what I'm trying to say is this. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as he knows the Father, and the Father knows him in a relationship of intimacy, you will not teach nor believe things which stray greatly from what we know and read about Jesus in the Word of God. I will not let you say things about Sister Kinlow because we are intimate. Amen. I'm not going to let you just say anything and talk about my daughter, any old, because intimacy. Amen. Amen. So we ain't going that route. Amen. So you know, no, that's not true. That's a lie. Amen. You want to get me fighting in a hurry? Amen. That's the way to do it. Amen. If you are intimate with your Lord, you will not tolerate people saying just anything about him. That's not true. Let me move on. Verse 16, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. This is a profound and deep verse of scripture which I pray I handle accurately or divide rightly. Having said this, the sheep Jesus had been referring to up to this verse, they were the sheep of the house of Israel, or those Jewish people who had believed on him. So up to this point, the sheep was really those of Israel who had believed on him. The sheep whom Jesus says were not of this fold, or they were not of the fold of the Jews who had believed on him, whom he would bring into the fold, they were Gentiles who had not as of yet believed on Christ unto salvation. At the moment Jesus spoke these words, the Gentile world, or those who were not Jews for the most part, were still without God, without hope, and most often entrenched in various pagan mystery religions. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, summarizes up the Gentile spiritual condition before they turned to Christ in Ephesians 2:11 through 12, and it says this: therefore remember that you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. The first recorded Gentile to come to know the Lord is in Acts chapter 8. His name was, we call him the Ethiopian, means burnt face. So we know that this first Gentile convert, he was a black man. And then we see the, and that was about 10 years after Christ spoke these words. Then we see the Gentiles as a whole being added to the fold of God's sheep as Peter, who held the keys to the kingdom. He opened up the door for the Gentile to become one with the fold of God in Acts chapter 10 at the house of Cornelius. So Gentiles didn't come to know the Lord till sometime after he makes this statement. But what is so intriguing and illuminating and discerning in Jesus' words is the fact that before the first Gentile and the Gentiles in general were made to be a part of the one fold of God, what is interesting is this. Jesus already called them his sheep. Now, y'all missed that, didn't you? They were already a sheep. Or the people whom he also must bring, who would hear his voice, and they would become one fold with one shepherd, Jesus Christ. And I say this because Jesus does not say, I will have other sheep which are not of this fold. He says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. The two words I have in the phrase, I have other sheep which are not of this fold, it is a Greek present tense, which means they were always a sheep. In the Greek language, the present tense indicates that which is forever or eternal. In essence, the Gentiles who would be saved had not as of yet become the people of God, for most were still without God and without hope. But in the mind of God, in the mind of Christ, who was God in flesh, they always were his sheep. I have them. But the Lord clearly says, I have, present tense meaning forever, other sheep which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They were not in the fold yet. But they were already his sheep. And so they were not the people of God, but they were the people of God in the mind of God. Liberal Bible scholars are those who are void of the Spirit of God would say this is a contradiction. Is that true? I think not. The answer is no, for what we have here is paradox. Paradox are two things that seem to contradict one another, but they do not, for both of them are true. And I say this because of the following. Now, before I say or teach what I'm going to teach, let me say this. What I'm about to teach is for the mature, or at the minimum, the maturing mind of the maturing child of God who has a heart to grow in the truth of God. If you don't have a heart to grow, you're not going to hear what I'm going to say. What I'm going to teach you, it requires faith that God is God. It's going to require faith that God is absolutely sovereign. He is dependent on none for nothing. He is just. He is fair. He is holy in all that he decrees and all that he brings to pass. It is solid food. The Hebrews writer said it like this, for everyone who is partaker only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. For he is an infant, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. See, solid food is for those who are mature or maturing. Amen. If you're infantile in your spiritual thinking, you are not going to hear what I'm going to say this morning. Having said that, as I previously said, there is no contradiction here, but this is what we call paradox. In other words, it is true that the Gentiles, that is all who were not Jewish, who would eventually come to know Christ, I said they were lost, they were without hope, and they were without God in the world. But in the mind of God, they were always his sheep, they were always his people. The reason why this is true is God's mind is not like our mind. And the way God thinks is not the way we think, nor are God's ways our ways. Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. See, that's a problem. Our yardstick for God is us. God ain't like you, he ain't like me. Amen. Because if he would, he wouldn't be God. Amen. See, we think God thinks like us, does like us, you know. Naaman the leper. You want to be cleansed, get in the muddy Jordan. Well, a lot of other rivers around here. Can't I just dip in some nice clear pool of spring, refreshing, cool water? See, and it's thinking, you don't get in the dirty Jordan. See, God is not like us. He doesn't think like us. He's not you. Amen. God is omniscient. In other words, God knows all things, or God has all knowledge that exists in and outside of his universe. God's knowledge is immediate. That means it can never be said of God that he is learning new things. Amen. His knowledge is immediate. It just always is. Amen. God has never forgotten anything he ever knew. God knows all things, past, present, and future, eternally. The psalmist in Psalm 147:5 says it like this: great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. In his omniscience, God has decreed all things that will happen from beginning to end. Isaiah 41:4, who has performed and accomplished it? Calling forth generation from the beginning. I, the Lord, am the first and I am the last. I am he. Isaiah 46:9-10, I am God, and there is no one else like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And y'all don't know what that means. What it means is God has decreed everything that takes place on this earth from beginning to end. God says, I am God, and there is no one else like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Because God declares the end from the beginning, declares some ancient times, things not yet done, and because he will accomplish all of his good pleasure, the Apostle Paul can make this statement concerning those who are saved and those who will be saved. It's Ephesians 1 and 3. Go there, please. And Ephesians 1, 3. It says, I'll wait till you get there. It says, blessed, are you there? All right. Amen. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. God can do that because he can declare the end, everything from the beginning to the end. Or he just does. Amen. Now, I know y'all looking at me funny. Just as he chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. According to what? To the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Yes. Notice verse 4 says, God chose us, his sheep, in Christ before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, there was only the eternal realm of God. Therefore, God choosing us to be saved, it is eternal, because he declared it when that's all was there was eternity. See, when he called you, amen, called out your name, it was in eternity before the world was. So his call in your life is forever, amen. There never was a time in which those who would be saved and are saved right now were not chosen by God. Now, you know, I'm going to slow down. Well, let me move on. Verse 5 teaches us all who will be saved and are saved right now, who are his sheep, or as God's people, are their sheep, as we learn in John text. Jesus called them sheep in this John text. They were predestined by God. It means marked out ahead of time. And that time is eternal. To be adopted as his sons and daughters, or his children, through Jesus Christ unto himself. And what motivated him, it's in verse 4, it's his love. It says, in love. He predestined. What motivated God was his love. To predestine us as his sons and daughters. And he did all this before the world was. Amen. God predestined us, his sheep, to be his sons through Jesus Christ. It was according to the kind intention of his will. So the motivation was love. And it was all according to the kind intention, not of our will, but his will. Verse 5. And the ultimate purpose of all of this was to the praise of the glory of his grace. God chose us. He marked us out to be his sons and daughters. And he didn't do it so we could have fun walking on the streets of gold in the New Jerusalem. Amen. He did it to the praise of his glory. Amen. Now, you know, if you are a good reader of scripture, I hope you notice none of this had anything to do with us, our will, our choice. But all of this was motivated by the love of God, according to the kind intention of his will, to what? To the praise of his or God's glory. So you see, my beloved, Jesus could call the Gentiles his sheep, which he must bring into the fold before they were in the fold, because they were already chosen by God according to the kind intention of his will, predestined to be his children according to God's love, to the praise of the glory of God. And he did all this before the world was. I'm not through. And because they were chosen and predestined by God in eternity, and God will accomplish all of his good pleasure, as it teaches us in Isaiah, those who are not as sheep, they were already the sheep of God in the mind of God. In the mind of God's son before they were the sheep of God. If you are saved, my dearly beloved, it is no accident. For in the mind of God, you were already one of his sheep before you were a sheep. If you are saved, or if at some point in your life you repented of your sin and placed saving faith in Christ of your own free will, it was not a luck of the draw. Amen. It was not chance. There was never a time God sat on the throne biting his nails wondering if you were ever going to give your heart to Christ. For in the mind of God, you were already his sheep before you were his sheep. Amen. It's sort of like walking to the gates of heaven, and there's a sign on the front gate before you get in. It says, whosoever will, let him come. You walk through the gates of heaven, you look back, there's a sign on the other side of the gate. It says, chosen from the foundation of the world. Amen. Now, you know, beloved, let me say this, and I'm going to move on. God saved me with a purpose and a plan before anything even was. Because I know God saved me with a purpose and a plan. God saved me, and he saved me to preach. I'm convinced. Amen. He saved me and called me and chose me to preach. Amen. Here on Sunday morning. Amen. To you. Amen. God gave me some specific and unique gifts in the Word of God. It's what I do. It's what God has given me. You know, I'm a Bible geek. Amen. I was telling my wife last week, we were eating dinner, which I enjoy doing with her. Amen. And I said, you know, honey, I say, even in high school, I was a geek. And she looked at me and said, you still are. Amen. I just love it. I was in my study, I think, Friday or Thursday, and I think I spent half a day studying Greek substantive adjectives. Now, I know that wouldn't excite any of you guys, but I was thrilled. Amen. I'm saying this to say this. Because I know God saved me out of purpose and plan, I live my life that way. See, the reason why you live your life with no purpose, no plan, no nothing, no joy, no hope, is because you don't live it knowing God called you and God chose you according to his eternal plan and purpose before the world began. And God has a destiny for you because of that. See, when you live your life like that, then you begin to live the abundant life in Jesus Christ, instead of walking around like a zombie from day to day. Amen. God saved you for a reason and a purpose. It's not an accident. It's not chance. It's not, you didn't stumble into him. No, he was there all along. Amen. We truly have been saved through an awesome salvation. Decreed by an infinitely awesome God whose ways and thoughts are as far from our ways and thoughts as the east is from the west. Amen? Amen. Let me move on. I'm glad God's ways are inscrutable.
Amen.
And that's why I can praise him. Because don't nobody get him. But yet we know what he do, he do. Amen.
Amen.
We don't know how he do it, but we know he do it. And that's why we can pray. I have no idea how Jesus said, I'm going to walk this water today.
Amen.
I don't know if I went out there, I'd be at the bottom of the ocean. Amen. I can't even stand on water in the bathtub. Amen. I don't know how he did, but he did it. He's in scrub. I don't know how he said Lazarus come forth and he came, hopped out the grave in his grave. I don't know, but he did it. Amen. I don't know how he could take a few fish and a few loaves and feed thousands and have some left over everybody. Amen. But he did it. Amen. His ways are inscrutable. And that's why we can pray. The way he called us and chose us, it is inscrutable. And that's why I praise him a thing, because I know in me, that is in my flesh, there is no good thing. But yet God called me. God chose me. God predestined me. And for that, I praise him. When some of you hear what I'm saying, you'll stop walking around like a spiritual zombie. You'll stop singing that old swing low, sweet chariots. Nobody knows the trouble. God has called me, amen, and chosen me, amen. And I'm going to function in my life according to that. Amen. Then the Lord says, and I got to finish it. That's why I told you I'd never make it to 21. Then the Lord says, I'm going to speed the rest up. He says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. He says, I must bring them also. Very funny. When the Lord says, I must bring them also, he uses what we call in the Greek language an aorist tense. Aorist tense means a completed action. In other words, even though the Gentiles were at the time the Lord spoke these words without hope and without God, alienated from the covenants, it was a done deal that the Lord Jesus Christ would bring them into the fold of God's people, because he says, I must. He didn't say, I'm thinking about it. He just said, I'm going to try real hard to bring these folk. He said, I must. It's an error. It's a must that is a done deal. When we were alienated from God in our sin, it was even then God had eternally decreed that it was a done deal, that one day we would be brought, not through our own effort, but brought by the Lord into the fold of God. The Lord says, I must bring them in. He didn't say he didn't say you held on and got in. He didn't say you ran, tried to make it. He'd say, you know, all that stuff we hear, y'all prayed I'd be one of you. I must bring them in. It's on me. And it's a done deal. Amen. See, God don't operate in maybes. We do. And most of our maybes is never. God operates in absolutes. I must bring them in. He says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, I must bring them also. And then he says, and they will hear my voice. Those whom the Lord knows eternally to be a sheep, even before they were his sheep. But they would be, because the Lord says, I must bring them also. And it's a done deal. He says they will hear his voice. They will hear his voice when he called them into salvation. The beautiful thing about that, he uses us to make that call.
Amen.
Yes.
Uses your testimony.
Amen.
Your witness.
Wow.
To call.
Yes.
One of his sheep to be saved. That's awesome. Amen.
Amen.
Because it's you he's doing it through. That's why it's awesome. Amen. You still don't get it? Because of who? You. And he still does it. Amen. What's the important part? You. Of all people. Amen. Amen. And me. But he says they will hear my voice. It's so interesting the language the Lord used. He's being very specific. When he says they will hear my voice, in the Greek we call it a future middle indicative. Future means something not yet but will be. The middle voice he uses, the middle voice the Lord uses, it's the most intense way to get a point across in the Greek language. It's like he's screaming it at you. It's the most intense way to get somebody to understand, like he's screaming it. They will hear my voice. He's screaming it. They will hear my voice. No doubt about it. They will hear. An indicative means it'll be part of your nature. It'll be part of your being. Therefore, when the Lord says they will hear my voice, what he is saying is, in the most intense way he can, is this, that the sheep who are not yet his sheep, but it is inevitable that they would be a sheep, they without any shadow of a doubt come to him when they hear his voice. The fact that it's indicative says it'll be of your own free will. It's not for you. They don't come kicking and screaming. Amen. I don't want to be saved, Lord, but I'm coming anyways. They will want to say yes. I didn't think about this, but when the Lord got a hold of me, I was ready. After God got through me, my yellow self, amen. I had no problem saying yes, Lord. I wanted to. Rest assured, beloved, that there will be no one in hell who should have been in heaven. But those whom God has declared to be a sheep, even before they were a sheep, they will without any shadow of a doubt, they'll hear his voice. They'll hear his voice, amen. In repentance of sin and faith in Jesus Christ. And then last, the Lord says, they will become one flock with one shepherd. When the Gentiles were added to the flock of God's people, they would become one flock with the Jews who had received the Lord, and both groups would become one, and they would have just one shepherd, and the one shepherd is Jesus.
Yes.
We have a whole lot of denomination, whole lot of sects, a lot of schisms. But no matter which of these you are in, if you have truly heard the voice of the Lord through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, you are in the flock of God. If you are in the flock of God because you heard the voice of the Lord through repentance and faith in Christ, you are in the one flock which only has one shepherd, and his name is Jesus. I'm so glad God put everybody else out. This excludes all of the bishops. The Kansas City prophets. The master brokers who claim you can't make it to heaven without them. Some of these guys, I don't want to go to heaven. You broken for me. Amen. If you broken for me, man, I don't want to go to that one because you messed up. Amen. There's only one shepherd over the one flock of God. And his name is Jesus. And if you are one of his sheep, you will hear his voice exclusively in exclusion to all others who claim to have another way, to claim to be another way, to proclaim another Jesus that you have not read about in this, by who got, you know, got you doing this, that, you need to get my spirit and all. If you are one of his sheep, you will hear his voice. Amen. Because you are one of his flock. Amen. I'm through. Let's pray. Amen. I'm done.
Thank you for taking the time to join us today. Understanding the Scriptures is a ministry of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio, with Senior Pastor Dr. David Kinlow II. Join us next week as Dr. Kinlow continues to teach the Word of God.